This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. A little surprise off the top of the hour. FTNFantasy.com's chief content officer, Mike Randall, joins us. And if you can find somebody that hates the Bengals like Mike Randall does, you found yourself an enemy. Because just a little bit of a tease, the models over at FTN Fantasy backed the Patriots catching the 8.5 against the Bengals. We'll get into that conversation with Mike Randall now. Dustin Sweetelson cooled down during the break, which you like to see. I'm Patrick Maher, Progressive Guest Line. Nice lid there from Randall. The traffic over at FTNFantasy.com right now is lit today with the models up. But before we get to that, most of you know Mike Randall ran track at Boston College. I don't know if you ever have to go into the victory formation at track and field style, but that's what your football team did yesterday in Tallahassee.
Oh, a minute and a half of victory formation. I could get a martini and a half down in that time. Great to see with BC. Bill O'Brien coming down to Boston College from the NFL. We ran the ball. We ran it down the Seminoles' throat. They knew it was coming, and they couldn't stop it, Patrick. Great start for the BC Eagles. Eagles on the warpath. Ooh-ah.
Yes, the track star. Excited about the football team. Moving forward, does this translate? It's obviously a team that's going to run the football. The defense looked a lot better. How much of it is Florida State? But BC moving forward, what do you see for this program?
I think we have a style. I think we now have a brand. He's going to build towards that. X and O, he's as good as anyone we're going to face. This is tremendous. Let's get the fans to the tailgate. Let's pack them inside the stadium. Looking forward to a very positive year for the first time in a long time.
Look at him. He's fired up. Is O'Brien coming back to help? Where's Matt Ryan when you're looking for him there? Okay, so you are one of those that has been fading the Bengals in every market possible. So we can kind of talk an overview of the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase, will he or won't he coming up this Sunday? The model over at FTNFantasy.com does like the Patriots with a little backdoor action here, catching 8.5.
Yeah, our model, remember, 10% edge or greater is an automatic play. And we're looking at it here today with the Patriots and the Bengals. We have now almost a 10% edge for the Patriots. Line is down to 8.5. We got it 9.5. Folks, Zach Taylor to start the year 2019 to 2023, 0-2, 0-2, 1-1 with an overtime win, 0-2, 0-2. It's the first game. Chase didn't practice in the preseason. We bind the Bengals offensive line. I am not. Defense, forget it. It's too many points. And let's remember, folks, per Bet Labs, teams that are underdog in week one of 6.5 points or more, 46-27 against the spread since 2006. That is a robust percentage. I'm happy about it. I will take the points with the Patriots gladly, and so will the FTN model.
Big Gerard Mayo fan, Mr. Randall. Now, 473, I'm a little bitter with you because we're both on the Commanders this year, big picture. However, you're fading them in week one, and you're going to lay the 3 with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I do like the Commanders for the long run here, but this is a tough spot against Tampa Bay. Statistically, it's not great for rookie quarterbacks on the road. I think Jaden Daniels will flash, but I like this Tampa Bay team, and the model likes it as well. If you look here at FTN, we have an edge here of about 5.3%. So not as big, Patrick, as the prior one I gave you, but we do have an edge for Tampa Bay at home. We projected 25.8 points to 19.4 points, so they are covering, but it's close here. For a Buccaneers team with experience, Jaden Daniels on the road. Maybe he flashes a little bit, a couple turnovers late. I like the Commanders long term, just not in this game.
It feels like there's some Seattle Seahawk love starting to percolate as the season approaches with a new head coach, new vibes. And they're hosting Bo Nix Denver in week one. This number at a couple of shops is showing Seattle laying 5.5. And then at others, Seattle laying 6. So key number there, you are going to lay it with the Seahawks.
Yeah, right now it's starting to creep up, which makes me a little nervous. But I talked to Brian Nemhauser on the Seahawks blog, the Hawk blogger today. And we do have an edge here for Seattle. We have Seattle -6 with a slight edge over the Broncos. Again, Bo Nix on the road here at Seattle. They should be able to run the ball with Kenneth Walker. The pass defense last year was tough. Per Aaron Schatz DVOA here at FTN, the Broncos were among the three worst teams at defending wide receiver two and wide receiver three. You're going to say Patrick Surtain. I would tell you that per Aaron Schatz, he regressed a little bit last year. So a lot of offensive firepower for the Seahawks. DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Kenneth Walker in a three down role, and the 12th man all add up to. It's a lot of points. If it gets to seven and a half, I'll be careful with that. But right now at six, we will lay those points here at FTN with Seattle.
The pride of Jersey, the Garden State. Mike Randall joins us, FTNFantasy.com. The models are live, as you know, over at FTN Fantasy. Jacksonville, Miami, 455. You're going to lay it with the Dolphins.
And I love the Jaguars this year. I think they're the perfect post-type sleeper, but our model has an 8.1% edge, laying the 3.5. That's a frisky number, so you can be careful with it. We like the Dolphins at home. Remember last year, guys, highest projected total in the week one was the Chargers and the Dolphins, and it hit Tyreek Hill over 200 receiving yards, 36-34, I believe. Dolphins won. I think they put points up here at home against Jacksonville, who I think will match them, but late will fall under this number. Love the Jags for the season, much like Commanders, but the model says take the Dolphins, lay the points here at home in Miami's home opener.
Big edge for the home opener in Miami for the Dolphins over at FTN Fantasy. Let's talk about a couple of totals, obviously modeled there at FTNFantasy.com. And we'll start with the Titans and Bears. You're going to go under 45.5.
Yeah, we're going to go under on this one. We see a 13.1% edge, and it is rising. Think this through, guys. What is the narrative coming into this game? Well, the Bears are great. Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Roma Dunze. Let's look on the other side there. We have a pretty strong run defense for Tennessee. We have a Tennessee offense that's actually pretty good itself. And we have a Chicago Bears defense that's strong as well. I like Tennessee on the money line here, and I certainly think this is going to be a low-scoring game. People are going to love offense. They saw Caleb Williams shine in the preseason, so they think it's going to continue here. I think this is a slobber knocker. So do we here at FTN. 13.1% edge on under 45.5. I bet this number creeps down as we get closer to kickoff on Sunday.
Big guy, when's the last time you heard slobber knocker?
Jim Ross, circa 1997, Stone Cold versus The Rock.
And I'm a huge wrestling fan. Doesn't surprise me.
Who's your favorite wrestler, Randall?
Oh, gosh, of all time. Ric Flair, great. Rey Mysterio Jr., great. And I love the Hart Foundation. Not only Bret Hart, but Jim the Anvil Neidhart with the beard, of course. I wish I could grow
that. All right, take it easy. Ever heard of the Ultimate Warrior? I mean, come on, take it easy. Coco, beware. Let's go 477. Dallas at the Browns. We're also focused on an under 42 here.
Yeah, we have an under. Our edge is starting to creep down a little bit because, again, it gets fine-tuned throughout the week, but we still like the under between these two teams. What is the most predictable unit in this game? The answer is the Browns defense, which was lethal and among the NFL's best with the Ravens last year statistically per DVOA. Cowboys offensive line, still don't trust them. CeeDee Lamb missed all of the preseason. They couldn't run the ball last year, Patrick, and I don't know if they can run it again. The Dallas defense was opportunistic. I'm not sure about Deshaun Watson. Do I trust him here to be consistent like he was a few years ago? It wasn't last year. It may not be this year. This one skews lower than you would think. I would expect the bets to be on the over, 42.5. I don't see it here. We have the under in this game between two solid defenses and two offenses that I have some questions about.
Do my eyes deceive me? So the Panthers are at the Saints, and the Saints are laying 4. You're going to go, nah, I don't need the points because I like the money line with the Panthers at plus 170.
Oh, Patrick, Panthers are going to win the game. This is the classic knee-jerk reaction to last year. Prior to the start of the season, the win total for the Panthers was 7.5. They go out, Bryce Young struggles, the whole thing, Frank Reich, fine, 2-15, forget it. First off, Dave Canales is there. That offense is better. Secondly, they're going to be having a better passing attack that's going to take advantage of guys who can get open, much like Deontay Johnson, who was brought in, rookie Xavier Leggett. Then the defense with the Jaro's defensive coordinator was improved. They just went through injury problems last year. I think they're going to be strong. I don't trust the Saints at all. What is the love for Dennis Allen? That's my favorite question. Dennis Allen right now has the worst win-loss record of any active coach in the NFL per Bet Labs. He is horrific. And against the spread, he's terrible as well. How about the fact that Derek Carr doesn't inspire confidence either as a starting quarterback? If you look at starters against the spread, right now he is ranked 165th out of 166 quarterbacks as a favorite per Bet Labs, the only quarterback who was worse than him was Matt Ryan. He's 74, 83, and 3. So we have a Panthers team that no one believes in. We have a new head coach, a new system, increased offensive weapons on the road against a Saints team with a coach that doesn't win and a quarterback that doesn't cover. Thank you very much, Panthers Moneyline.
Plus 170. I'm just Googling. I'm trying to find one article in the history of the internet where Dennis Allen got any love. Dustin, can you think of a time that Dennis, what's the love for Dennis Allen?
I think the talking point with Dennis Allen is, has anyone worse ever gotten two chances in the NFL?
Guys, Randall,
you could do a better job.
I'm ready to go. Guys, per Bet Labs, Dennis Allen, head coach, 5 years in the NFL. His teams have hit the under on their preseason win total 5 times in a row. That's a guy you want to back in week one? Next question.
I don't have any more questions. We literally have 50 seconds. I mean, that is just a tour de force segment. This is why you're the GOAT. It's, you'll always be the GOAT. He's Mike Randall. The models are live over at FTNFantasy.com. It's going to be a big season over at FTN, Randall.
I can't wait. We have you covered start to finish. Survival pools, Jeff Radcliffe's ranking, Aaron Schatz, DVOA. We're ready to go. And our stats hub, guys, we can give you stats forever. That's what you want. Come to FDN. Join us here.
I want text messages on Sunday. Just fire off text messages to me. Make me laugh. Can you do that for me, Randall?
As soon as I get kicked out of my daughter's volleyball game, absolutely. No problem.
All right, let's go. Yeah, she is the captain, but wasn't going to make the team. We know. FTNFantasy.com. He's Mike Randall. We're coming back.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, of course, you know it's a fresh football season, and that means a fresh lineup here at VSIN. Start your day with our brand new morning show. It's called the VSIN Morning Line from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Grace Remington, Harrison Sanford, and our NFL insider Michael Lombardi going to recap the biggest stories and surprises from the night before, plus set the table for the events yet to come. And don't worry, we still got your favorites, Mitch Moss and Paul Howard on Follow the Money and their new time slot 4 to 7. It's the same special brand of sports talk, but it's shifting from your ride into work to your ride home from work. Check out any of our shows. And again, remember, Stormy, we got a lot of surprises coming for you this football season. VSIN.com, YouTube TV, the iHeartRadio app, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Okay, we welcome you back. I want to get into this. I'm Patrick Maher, live from LA. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. So we should touch on, just because two important and a key number on both Thursday night to kick off the NFL season and then Friday night with Green Bay and Philadelphia in Brazil. So both numbers toggling back and forth on the key number of 3. And I want to talk about Baltimore and Kansas City. Before we do, this is just how I broadcast and just the person I am. I have to talk about the awkwardness. And Dustin, I'm sorry. You're not talking to me during the break. You have a scowl on your face. I'm aware why you're upset, but I feel like you owe me an apology because I'm trying to host a show.
You owe me an apology for not having my back and backing out of the Andy Stables argument.
Yeah. So I'll just explain quickly. So Dustin looks up to people like Andy Stables, and Dustin identifies as a sports fan. And he identifies as a person that knows more about sports than anybody. If you were even to question his sentiment when discussing sports, he doesn't get fake mad. He gets very mad. So, for example, if we had somebody on and Dustin gives out a play and the person's like, well, actually, I don't like that side. I like the other side. Dustin starts fuming. So if you missed the segment with Andy Stables, Dustin said, Kirk Ferentz, Iowa dropped 40 over the weekend. It's a new offense. Andy said Ferentz wasn't coaching the team. And that sent you into a spiral.
Yeah, it's not that I know more. It's that my opinions are better. And this wasn't an argument about my opinions. This was Andy just wanting to nitpick that I said the name Kirk Ferentz when it came to Iowa when he was suspended for a game, as if he didn't game plan the entire week for what they were going to do offensively. And the talk hasn't been since he fired his son a year ago that they were going to open up this offense and try to throw the ball more and finally accept the forward pass in 2024. All of that was at play here. Andy just loved that I said something that was like minimally incorrect and couldn't wait to pounce. And then I'm not even mad at Andy. I'm mad at you because I look over and I see this. I'm out of this. I thought we were partners. I thought we were a team here. And he's coming on our show and disrespecting me, and you just let it walk all over me.
Okay, if I'll be completely unbiased here. You did get nitpicked. He was actually new.
Yes.
But in the grand scope and just from an entertainment perspective, it was awesome. It was great. Because anybody focusing on your face when you got nitpicked could tell that you were about to murder the state of Nevada. So it was just, I'm sorry, I had to throw you out there. I would have called him out, but then he would have got mad at me. And I'm trying to be impartial.
And we got to do two segments. So then he's mad for two. I get it. All right. I understand where you're coming from. So
it puts me in an awkward spot.
I apologize to you for how I reacted. I do not apologize to Andy officially, though.
Have you texted him? I would just say to Andy Staples, don't expect a text. Let's talk about the Ravens and Chiefs. 222 days ago, coming up this Thursday, they played in the AFC title game. I think most would remember they combined for 27 points, and the Ravens had opportunities to win that football game. The Ravens, including Lamar Jackson, were just awful in the game. And frankly, the Chiefs didn't do anything in that game either. They went through long stretches on offense where they could just get nothing done. So let's talk about the number. Key number of 3 with Kansas City. Laying it, though, if you want to lay it with Kansas City, you can find a 2.5. And if you want to take it with Baltimore, again, I keep repeating myself, but it's a key number. You have to take the 3. A total 46. All the way up to 46.5. And I think there's only one way you can look to open the season on Thursday, and that is the under between these two teams, and I'll get to why. But let's first start with an overview. The Ravens. Okay, we'll start there. Gus Edwards is out, Derrick Henry in. So I think you have to consider that to be a motivated Henry, somebody that really hasn't tired, even at his age and his size. I think you have to think about that as a positive. There are some negatives when talking about the Ravens. It's been a very... almost like a quiet offseason. They didn't show out in the preseason, so they've kind of flown under the radar. Patrick Queen is gone. That's a Pro Bowl linebacker. Jadeveon Clowney is gone. Now, you might clown Clowney because he hasn't lived up to the hype coming out of South Carolina, but he was great for the Ravens last year, and he was great in that playoff game against the Chiefs. So that's important, big guy. The defensive coordinator, who's known as a genius, is now coaching the Seattle Seahawks. And then we start talking about the offensive line. Kevin Zeitler's gone. John Simpson's gone. So that's a new look offensive line that's a little banged up right now, protecting Lamar Jackson. You know, Kyle Hamilton, their star safety, has been banged up. He is going to play in the game. So we'll put that over there. But there are changes with the Ravens. I was just digging into a little bit as far as the total. Okay. First off, we know Mahomes. We know Jackson. Both are 2-time MVPs. Mahomes is 3-1 straight up against Lamar Jackson. He's 4-1 against Baltimore. He's thrown 13 touchdowns and 2 picks and averages 344 yards per game. What am I saying? Mahomes has a lot of success against a perennial, very good defense, big guy. But this is where we need to look, and that is the total. First off, the last 22 at Arrowhead, the Kansas City Chiefs are 18-4 to the under. 18-4 to the under. Now, last year, straight up against the spread at Arrowhead, the Chiefs were 5-4. So again, there's always going to be attacks on the Chiefs at home. And because of Mahomes and because of Andy Reid, you're always going to get an elevated total. And so again, people and the public, they're going to bet the over there. And then you just take a look at what these two teams did last year. I know I talked about some of the absences on defense for the Ravens, including the coordinator, but they were 10-8-1 to the under, the Ravens last year. And the Chiefs were 14-7 to the under last year. There's only one way to look with defenses being ahead of the offenses coming into week one. Again, 18-4 over the last 22 to the under for the Chiefs at Arrowhead. I like the under in this matchup.
Yeah, I was looking at the first half under, but I haven't decided yet. I might go full game with you. I do think that is the play. Baltimore new offensive line. They're working in a bunch of new pieces there. So they're also going to want to rely on the run more, though, with Derrick Henry in the mix. That could lead to the clock moving a lot more, obviously. And then on the defensive side, I think they have such a good culture in Baltimore. I still think the defense is going to be good with Zach Orr calling the plays. I know Mike McDonald was tremendous, and he deserves the job in Seattle. There's been a lot of talk about him being like the boy genius of this team. But I think Zach Orr's been there. He understands what's expected of him. He understands the Raven way. I think his defense picks up where it left off despite losing some of those pieces. The secondary actually got better. It obviously got healthier, but I think it got better in the offseason via the draft, via free agency. And then for the other side, Kansas City, they opened last year Thursday night with your Lions. They combined for 21 points in the first half. The first half total for this year's opener is 23.5. With Baltimore's propensity to run the football, I would like that in the first half, the under on that, just because I think they will use up more clock than Detroit did a year ago. And then you mentioned it, 14-7 to the under, at 66.7% on Kansas City a year ago. They are more of an under team. The defense is still good. They lost L'Jarius Sneed, but basically everyone else is back and intact for that KC defense. The one concern I have for the Kansas City offense, it's not the lack of weapons. Mahomes finds a way to make these guys work to a degree. They're working in a new left tackle, a rookie out of BYU. That's going to play a role here in me wanting to back the under. That is the only play I see making sense in Thursday's opener.
BYU, he's going to be frisky. You know what I'm saying?
He was probably 30 years old, too.
Sneed is a huge loss for Kansas City.
Oh.
You can't just gloss over that.
No. But because their front is so good and so consistent, with Jones locked up and they have a bunch of other guys, Bolton at linebacker, they have so much in the front seven that they will be able to find and create another corner. I do believe that.
I don't disagree with you. I think the Baltimore, I always back the Baltimore Ravens, but it's starting. If I forced you on a side, I'll give you three. We'll give you the key number if you're forced on a side Thursday night.
So I'm going to take the three because I think we've seen something over the Chiefs the last couple seasons is the regular season doesn't matter. They know, get into the dance, get in the playoffs, and they will find a way to win when it matters, when it's time, when it's put up or shut up time, and someone needs to blink, they'll find a way to win. For Baltimore, I don't think they can afford to lose this game. The AFC North is going to be brutal this year. Burrow is back healthy. You're going to have to deal with the Browns. They're going to have better quarterback play potentially. I think for Baltimore, they can't afford to lose it. I know that's not a great reason to back a team, but I will back them and take the 3 points here because they need it a little bit more than KC.
All right, so we'll talk more about this game tomorrow, obviously. There's any movement, but Dustin and I both on the under 46.5. By the way, 46.5 at DraftKings and FanDuel. And a bunch of shops showing 46. We got to talk Green Bay, Philadelphia as well. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. We've got our family plays coming up. Of course, objective here on Sharp Money every day, give you as many plays as possible. We got Stuart Durst and John Bowman yet to come. The big guy's got a bunch of props for the NFL season, which we'll get to. I think there's a lot that Dustin thinks, including if you guys thought I was doing shtick during the break, he yelled at Larry, our engineer. So again, we're all walking on eggshells around here.
I mean, all I asked for from my guy Larry is to come with consistency. And for a while, we were getting the consistency when it comes to the motivational quotes. However, we have 30 minutes left in today's show, and we've yet to hear any motivation from Larry. That's all.
Okay. Hey, well, I'll apologize for Larry. Larry, you're doing a great job. I apologize. Quickly, I want to get to Sao Paulo. That's Brazil.
If there's one,
I don't like going to NFL games, but if there's one game I'd like to go to this year, it's in Sao Paulo, Brazil. You understand?
Yeah, those seats in that stadium come with a cushion.
The seats in that stadium, they're sitting on something. So before we get to that game, because I think you could argue the wrong team might be favored. Before we get to that game, there is a college football team already in the college football playoff. Remember, it's expanded to 12. And I want to congratulate our buddy Tim Murray. Didn't go to Notre Dame, loves Notre Dame. I want to congratulate our buddy Mike Palm. Went to Notre Dame, loves Notre Dame. Anybody else that's a Golden Domer, shout to Lou Holtz. Okay, because Notre Dame has officially entered the college football playoff after week one. They just beat Texas A&M at Kyle Fieldhouse 23-13, and that's all it took. You think I'm kidding? Let's go through this. So, again, Riley Leonard, you know, the numbers aren't going to blow you away, but he was gutsy. He was great on the ground running the football. They found their lead back in Jeremiah Love, 91 yards. He had the go-ahead touchdown, Dustin. And really what this comes down to is they're going to run the football and play tremendous defense. They had two picks. I know Wegman stinks, but they had two picks off Wegman. I mean, this Notre Dame defense is legit. They've got a run game. They've got a vet quarterback. But this comes down to the schedule. Getting past Texas A&M is all that matters. Did you know they've got two ranked teams left on their schedule? One is Florida State. They're not going to be ranked again. The other is USC. Did you know that Notre Dame football has three true road games? One's at Purdue. What? One's at Georgia Tech. Okay, maybe there's something there. And one is at USC to close the season. There are other two quote-unquote road games. One's against Navy at MetLife, and the other is at Army at Yankee Stadium. So we're talking about a Notre Dame team that just had their toughest test of the season at College Station, one, and now have three true road games, one's against Purdue, and they have two against the academies at MetLife and Yankee Stadium. The rest of the schedule, they got Northern Illinois this week. They've got Purdue. They've got Miami of Ohio. They've got Stanford. They've got Florida State coming to Notre Dame. They've got Virginia coming to Notre Dame. This is a cakewalk into the 12-team college football playoff for Notre Dame. That is a lock. Now, I'll give you the number on Notre Dame making the postseason. My assumption is you're going to lay a price.
Yeah, minus 360.
You're laying a huge price, and I think you'd be comfortable doing it.
Yeah, look.
This is going to be a cakewalk for Notre Dame football into the college football playoff.
A few things at play here. Marcus Freeman, who I know you're not a huge fan of, but a young up-and-coming coach given this job maybe earlier than expected last year. However, I think you have to look at he's someone who can grow into this role, right? He's now 7-3 against the spread on the road. That's massive for a school like Notre Dame to win on the road and cover on the road like that. 5-1-1 against the spread as a dog. But the key to this is Notre Dame being in the playoff. Let's remember who created the 12-team format, who created the stipulations on how they choose who's going to make this thing. It was all the conference commissioners. They were all meeting, plus one other individual. Who was that? Notre Dame athletic director, Jack Swarbrick. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what was going on because the big talk was, well, is Notre Dame going to finally join a conference? No. They like the way things set up for them in this new world as an independent with this 12-team playoff, especially if they don't have to schedule certain teams now along the road to get there. They end up undefeated on their independent schedule. They will end up in the 12-team playoff. That's all they care about is staying and being relevant at the top of college football.
So you got to lay 360 for Notre Dame to make the 12-team playoff. They will be doing that. We just told you about the schedule. Oh, by the way, remember I just said that Notre Dame has two ranked teams left on their schedule, one being Florida State, one being USC. Well, the AP top 25 has just dropped.
Oh,
no shocker. Florida State has fallen out of the top 25.
No way.
So after starting 0-2, becoming just the third team to go from preseason top 10 to unranked in the first regular season poll since the rankings expanded in 1989, Michael Norvell, he go. He got to go. Let's go through this quickly.
Yeah.
So Georgia stays one. Yep. No surprise. Ohio State is two. Texas is three. They head to the Big House. They're laying 7.5 at Michigan. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, four. They moved up a spot. Number five is Notre Dame. We just discussed. Six is Ole Miss. That's not good for Ole Miss as a program because Lane Kiffin with pressure, woof. Oregon, seven. Penn State's eight. Missouri, nine. And Michigan rounds out the top 10. Utah's 11, in case you care. And your Miami Hurricanes are 12.
Yeah, Miami up seven spots. USC's 13. They went up 10 spots. Interesting, Oregon dropping four spots. I know that they let Idaho hang around, but they did still win the game. To drop four spots feels a little bit crazy there. That is fascinating. And then LSU post-loss with USC down five spots to number 18.
Okay, big guy. Teams with losses. LSU, 18, you just mentioned. Clemson falls to 25.
Yikes.
After their beatdown. Woodshed, Georgia.
How about your boys? Right? How about your boys?
What?
Georgia
what?
Tech, 2-0 at 23. Ranked.
Now Georgia Tech, they're my boys.
You love them.
Do I?
That's your team. Big Haynes.
Do you know what's
guy.
Fascinating about Georgia Tech? What's fascinating about Georgia Tech is Atlanta is a great city.
Yes.
You've been, your parents live outside of Atlanta. You're very well versed in Atlanta. The only school that people that live in Atlanta care about is the University of Georgia. Athens is what? An hour and a half away from downtown Atlanta? 2 hours?
They're the number one team in town.
Traffic?
Yeah.
Georgia Tech plays in Atlanta.
No, in Midtown. Beautiful, beautiful area.
They play in the middle of the city.
Literally, they couldn't be more in this. Bobby Dodd Stadium is right in Midtown, right over the I-75, 85 on the other side. And then you cross over and there's all the buildings and everything. Ormsby's, great bar in that area. My favorite bar to go on dates. Never really worked out in the end, but good spot. We had a good time while we were together. Georgia Tech, the funny thing about that is kids leave that campus and they travel up to Athens on Saturdays to watch a better football team play. But Georgia Tech should be good.
No, totally. And Athens is, you know, shout to REM. Athens is one of the great campuses in America. It's a great campus. Between the Hedges. Like, just the concept that you literally flexed that you went on dates at a bar. You could have just said you liked the bar.
I mean, I like the bar, but it was my go-to date spot because they have a lot of weird games to play.
Right, which is good. Divert her from you.
Yeah. Do you know my favorite game we played? Do you actually like me?
What was her response?
Usually no.
Okay, well, that didn't end well. Big
does.
News of the day, and that is Trent Williams, the all-time great left tackle, best in the game, has re-upped with the San Francisco 49ers. It looks like he's going to play in the home opener, Dustin, and that number has jumped to 4.5. So again, you know, we touched 3.5. Ayuk news dropped, it jumped to 4. Trent Williams news dropped, it's jumped to 4.5. So the protection of the blind side worth half a point here at most shops. Now you can find a couple of fours in the market, but actually split right down the middle with 4s and 4.5, maybe a little buyback on the Jets here.
Yeah, I'd like it to keep going up because I would look for an opportunity to back the Jets here over VSiN.com with the betting splits. See where the money's going over at DraftKings. 56% of the money on just 46% of the bets backing the New York Jets here. I might be jumping in at 4.5 because I don't know if it's going to go up anymore.
Oh, you're a Rodgers believer. Do you want to play Saleh? Do we have Saleh?
Yeah, we can play Saleh. I want to fade San Francisco and everything going on this offseason.
I don't like
the vibes. Bad vibes. Kind of gross.
How about Hassan Reddick and Mr. Saleh?
He's still sitting out. Robert Saleh is not concerned.
I'm not. There's no disappointment. It's, You've got your roster. You've got the guys who are here, and those are the guys you focus on, you know. And, hopefully eventually he does get here. And when he gets here, like I said, we're going to embrace him. We're going to love him. We're going to do everything we can to put him in a position to be successful, to achieve the goals that he's trying to achieve, as well as us. But I wouldn't call it disappointment.
Hey, Dustin, have you ever heard this song? Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
That's not the Jimmy World Middle. That is Bob Dylan.
No, this is Here I Am. Is it Bob Dylan?
I think it's
Stuck
Bob Dylan.
Stuck in the Middle with You. That's Robert Saleh. Here's Aaron Rodgers. Here's ownership in Douglas. And here's Saleh stuck in the middle. Not a great spot. Eagles, Packers, and family vids next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Tomorrow on the program, we had planned all week to talk about the rookie quarterbacks making starts. Dustin knows this, and I want to give credit to Lock and Cash Sports. So they had this graphic. This is pretty insane. Since the merger, there have been 27 quarterbacks taken as the number one overall pick in the draft. In their first NFL start, they are combined 4-22-1 straight up, which is a 15% winning percentage. And against the spread, number one overall picks at quarterback are 7-20 ATS, 35% ATS. Caleb Williams and the Bears are a 4.5-point favorite against the Titans. So we'll have more on that tomorrow. Just important, a little wet your whistle just a little bit, big guy.
I like it because I may or may not have placed a bet in that game already. And to see that pick, you have to go to VSiN.com/picks.
Tighten up.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, the Titans. You know what? The Titans did something. Here's a way to get straight to my heart, which is, you know, vast. Here's all you have to do. If you're a general manager and a head coach, you have to hide a camera, call in the players that didn't think they were going to make the team and tell them they made the team, record it all, and I'll watch 5 minutes of it on social media. And that's what the Titans did. The Titans are most likely going to stink. However, the kids were excited, and I like to see it. It warms my heart.
Yeah, but then I think about all the recordings they probably have because they just keep the camera rolling of the people whose dreams they crushed that day as well.
I don't like to watch that type of stuff.
Well, they don't release that.
I don't like to watch gory videos. I don't like to watch animals getting hurt. If somebody says caution graphic, I never click on the video. I'm just not that type of dude.
It also feels illegal, though. I don't think you're allowed to record people without them knowing.
Okay, well, you're just picking apart. This is what you do. Do you nitpick?
Once you've been nitpicked, you start nitpicking everything else.
You nitpick by feel.
It is very voyeuristic, and that doesn't feel up your realm. That's all I'm saying.
That could be up my realm. Let's get to some family vids. Let's get to some plays. Not those type of family vids, let's get to some family plays because we got to get some picks in here.
All right, John Bowman, he's been with us all baseball season long. He's killing it. He's a former Blue Jay scout. He has Baseball with Bowman. All the info on his Twitter, at JohnBowman11. Get all of his plays there. And here he is with a Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? It's John Bowman from Baseball with Bowman here, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play of the day. We're going to go with the Diamondbacks on the money line, minus 125 against the Giants. Ryan Nelson going for the Diamondbacks. We don't know who's going for the Giants yet, but Ryan Nelson has been absolutely dealing lately. He's been pitching really well for a while now. The Diamondbacks have been playing very well, too. I know they just lost 3 of 4 against the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have been red hot as well. The Giants have been playing a little bit better at home, and the Giants' bullpen has been very good, but the Diamondbacks' bullpen has been good, too. They've been playing well. Their bats are hot. I like the Diamondbacks on the road here.
Okay, D-backs for John Bowman, former scout with the Blue Jays. Congratulations to the big guy and to myself, because I had Flaherty and the Dodgers yesterday. You had Dodgers team total. They took the snakes to the woodshed and put a beat down on them. And oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani in that game, I believe, had 4 swipes, 4 more steals. He is going to get to 50-50. He is unquestionably the greatest baseball player of all time. That hurts a lot of people's feelings for multiple reasons, but it's just factual.
Well, and he's also casually doing it. Like, he's just piling on the numbers at this point. And they needed him, by the way. There was a big stretch of the season. A core of that lineup was out. I know a lot of people want to make a case for someone else to be MVP. When he finishes 50-50 and you factor in the Dodgers lineup was missing a bunch of key starters and he carried them along the way, there's no doubt he's MVP, and he's going to be the MVP unless he gets injured any other year.
I think he's probably, what is he laying at this point to win the MVP this year? $1 million?
Yeah, I mean, I'll pull it up, but it's going to be a lot. And by the way, for Bowman's play, Kyle Harrison is now announced as the starter for the Giants. I like the Arizona play even more for him because Ryan Nelson's been pretty good on the road this year. But more importantly, the Diamondbacks just absolutely mashed left-handed pitching, and that's what Kyle Harrison is. So I might tail him on that one.
Burgers and mash. Let's get to another family play. I think it's Stuart Durst.
Yep.
Yes.
Minus 2,000 on Ohtani for NL MVP. Yeah, Stuart Durst at Monotone Football, 1L on the end there. You can find him over on Twitter. And here he is with his Sharp Money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money family? We are back with another MLB play. We're just a couple days away from the NFL season, but I got one more MLB play to sneak in here. We're going to end with a banger. We're going Vlad Guerrero Jr. over 1.5 hits plus runs RBIs in a great matchup against Phillips, who's allowed 8, 4, and 5 earned runs over his last 3 starts. Guy has some absolutely insane reverse splits. Lefties are only hitting 200 against him. Righties are hitting .316 with over a .689 slugging on the season. Fantastic reverse splits matchup. Guerrero, .324 on the season. That jumps up to .347 at home. He's absolutely on fire over this number in 16 of his last 21 games. One of the hottest hitters in the league, one of the most consistent guys, in a fantastic matchup. We rarely get him at 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. That's why you're paying a little juice at -140, but he's the guy that should be lined at 2 today, and we're going to take advantage of it, like a little sprinkle on the home run as well. Let's cash some tickets.
Okay, Stuart Durst, thank you very much for the family vid. I've got a play for you that is going to turn that frown upside down.
I don't think it's a frown. I just think my face naturally does this.
The Mets are one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. They're a half game out of the third and final wild card spot, and they're taking on the Red Sox tonight. I'm going to tell you something right now. What's the price? $130-something?
Yeah.
Peterson, 8-1 this season, .283 ERA. He's been dealing as of late. He's 3-0 in the month of August with .186 ERA. Let's go. Cutter Crawford, opposite for the Red Sox. Metsies are going to smash Crawford. Peterson's going to deal. What's the price?
It's -142 now. I had .134 earlier today. I don't like to bet the Mets. I'm usually fading the Mets. I couldn't stay away from this one. I'm with you 100%. Boston is middle of the road against lefties. They're actually a little bit worse than that. And this is a resilient Mets team that keeps clawing its way back. And Boston is fading really fast down the stretch. They've lost 8 of 11. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Metsies. So, you know, my good friend Evan Roberts, who's the drive time host at WFAN in Detroit. In New York City. He has a podcast, a Mets podcast. He's just obsessed with the Mets. He scored every game for the last 67 years. Anyway, he's got a podcast called Rico Bronya. And he was driving home with his son, Jet, from the game last night, doing a live stream after the fifth in a row for the Metsies. It was the funniest thing. I got to give Evan a shout. It was rested on like his, you know, like the car, like beyond the steering wheel. And he was literally just driving, going off about how the Mets are on a roll. So I turned around and said, I got to back him today with Peterson.
One, he does it all the time. The driving home from the game podcast, good or bad.
He's such a donk because he's like looking over his shoulder. He's a terrible driver. I've driven with him a million times. He's terrible.
Well, the bad ones are always the best ones. I just love that he named it after Rico Bronya because I remember watching Rico Bronya play for the Mets thinking he was the future.
Well, he wasn't.
No, he definitely wasn't. I'm going to go back to the Dodgers team total over 5.5 with you on the Mets as well. And then a few more I'll run through here, but I'm not going to give the full breakdown. Nats plus +102. We're back in Patrick Corbin on the road at the Marlins. Twins money line at the Rays and Rangers Yankees over 9.
Corbin's been hot.
He has a 1.65 ERA over his last three. Miami's 3-10, their last 13 home games. No atmosphere, no fan base. Season's over.
That's teamwork. All I said was Corbin's hot. You came with the stats. Don't get mad at me. Just smile.
No nitpicking. That's why. No nitpicking.
Let's close tabs.
You said new addition for something. They were an American R&B pop group from Boston, formed in 1978 by Bobby Brown. Their name is taken to mean a new edition of the Jackson 5.
What's up?
Andy Staples mentioned former Penn State quarterback Matt McGloin. He now holds office in the state of Pennsylvania. He is the Lackawanna County Commissioner. Reminds me of Camp Onawanna.
Dustin was complaining on his walk today. He pulled his Matt McGloin.
I wish someone would pull it for me. The band that sang Stuck in the Middle with You was not Bob Dylan. It was Steeler's Wheel, a Scottish folk rock band formed in 1972.
And then Fleetwood Mac.
Not Fleetwood Mac. And then top five wrestlers, I'm going to go in the opposite order you're supposed to. Number one, Rey Mysterio for me. Number two, Ultimate Warrior. Number three, X-Pac. Number four, Stone Cold. Number five, the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Number one is there's only one answer and one answer only. Tito Santana, Ariba. Coming up next, Follow the Money and their brand new time slot. Enjoy the program. Dustin, just a tremendous job by you today. Okay. Andy Staples, thank you. Mike Randall, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money.
Shout out to Kirk Ferentz.